Welcome, listeners. This is Pastor. Oh, excuse me, Brother Larry. Can't get out of that pastor mode. But this is Brother Larry. We've been talking about the physical world, the spiritual world, loving not the world. The Bible uses the world many, many, many hundreds of times, and context will determine its meaning. And we have already discussed the meaning of what we're using, and that is the world system that stands opposed to God. Its philosophies, it's revealed in education, government, and other organizations. It's the philosophy that denies the Word of God, and because the Word of God is the standard for truth, Jesus Christ being revealed in His Word is the standard of truth. The Bible makes a commandment. We were talking last week of what some of that world philosophy is. The Bible tells us to be on the alert, to be aware of this as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So this is what we're trying to determine. So, and we're talking about some examples of are you really a follower of Christ? Are you trying to walk as Jesus did? And we talked about that last week. We talked about other things the week before. The world says I go to this just because I go to church. That makes me a believer. Well, I can walk into a garage. That doesn't make me a car. You know, it's not because you enter or go someplace necessarily makes you a believer of that. So Jesus responded by saying that we must worship God in spirit, and only He can make us spiritually alive. And by doing that, He gives us the truth. Because God will only reveal, Jesus Christ will only reveal truth to those who will listen. If you read many times in the New Testament of Jesus speaking in parables, that was hiding truth from the unbeliever who was set out to argue and to criticize, and that truth was given to his followers, to his believers. Let me ask you a question. Do you love God? Think about that. Do you, and I want you to seriously think about it. You believe in what Jesus says for the greatest commandment. Do you love God? Now, what does that love and what does love involve? We in this Western world are very, love is all emotion. Well, it's part of it. The emotion of love is like the fragrance of a rose, but it's not the rose itself. The rose is the love. Do you believe in the greatest commandment that Jesus gave? And it says right here, love God with all, not just part, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your body. Really? That means that you got to be all in, folks. Because that word all is used over and over. You got to be all in. You can't be partially in. And that's where a lot of believers are at. Have we given our whole self, mind, body, soul, and heart, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because He gave so much for us. He gave His life for me while I was yet a sinner. And that's what He did for you also. Just think what love entails. Think you're in love. You always thought about the person. Remember loving my wife? I couldn't wait to get home to her. I couldn't wait to talk to her. I couldn't wait to be with her. Is that the way we are with Christ? Is that the way we are with God the Father? Think about it. It really says a lot about our commitment. Do we wake up in the morning with Him? Reading our Bibles, we're having devotions, we're fellowshipping with Him, we're praying. Oh, don't get me wrong. I do it too. I neglect. And because you neglect once in a while doesn't mean you don't love him. We just need more of a commitment. That's what we need. We need to spend more time with our Savior, more time with God the Father, more time with the Holy Spirit, asking him to reveal truth to us. See, a lot of times we want the Spirit of Truth to reveal himself to us, and we don't spend the time with him. This is what genuine love is like. Genuine love, all you got to do is read 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, the whole book of 1 John, it talks about love. What we're not to love, and what we are to love. You know, I couldn't wait to tell people how much I was in love with this lady and seeing how love works and to telling people about her and how loving and how gracious she was. So let me ask you a question. Do you seek to tell others about this loving Savior that gave his life for you so that you could have life? Do you not even think about him in your daily routine? I have to say, I think about Jesus Christ every day, and the more I live, I haven't got that many more years. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me physically, but just getting up in years. As I think and as I move on during the day, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of my Savior. Now, I'm not trying to be more holy than somebody else, but that's the way it should be. If we're in love with somebody, isn't that the way it should be? Now, on the other end of the spectrum here, for everyone, if you're one of those skeptics, I'll bet you anything you're not thinking about what you're going to do for Christ today and how you're going to fellowship with him. And that's a good indication that we're still following the ways of the world. And I know Christians can get trapped into that. But see, the Christian has a Holy Spirit to bring him back and to draw him back towards the Savior. Do you have a personal testimony? I remember sitting around in a Bible study. There's about probably 14 of us sitting around in a circle, and we're all giving testimonies. And we come across one gentleman that refused to give a testimony. And I'm thinking, 13 out of 14, and I'm thinking, maybe he doesn't have one. Maybe he's not a Christian. In fact, I've been fishing with him a few times. He's not alive now, but I was fishing with him a few times. I had never heard him talk about Christ at all. I don't know about you fellow Christians, but when I'm in a group of people, I want to be in a group of people that have the same likeness that I have, that know Christ. They talk about him. They talk about scriptures. They talk about how Christ has blessed them and how he's blessed others. That's what the Bible calls fellowship. And a lot of times we Christians get around in a group and we just talk about the mundane things. That bothers me just as much as sitting in a group of unbelievers who can't share anything about Christ. I want to sit around in a group of believers that will talk about Christ and not of things of the world. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And do you have a personal testimony? Let me ask you a question for all my listeners. If God asked you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? You're standing before God. He says, why should I let you in here? What would you say? I want to read to you a passage out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23 that says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And Jesus said, "And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." There are those that are even called Jesus Lord that will not enter into the kingdom of heaven because they're trying to enter in the wrong way. By their works, by their own beliefs, by their made-up belief system, which are the ways of this world, which is the world system. Remember, there's only one way. Only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, as the Apostle Peter said. Whereas Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but through me." Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the gate." The thief tries to enter in through the back door, or tries to break over the fence. But no, he says, "You must come through the door." Have you come through the door? Are you still living to the world system and its beliefs? Come to Christ today. You know, I know that the world says the Bible just written by man is full of contradictions. This is what you believe. And say you do. And say that you have the Spirit of God in you, you do not believe Christ or God. If you don't believe that the Scriptures are the Word of God, I believe you're not a Christian. You're walking in darkness and being led by the Prince of Darkness. You know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So let me ask you, my friend, if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, how can you get instruction? How can you live a life of Christ's righteousness if you reject it? You can't pick and choose. There's a lot of people that are cherry pickers, I call them. They pick something out of the Bible they like and they discard the rest. So what's to stop you from picking, let's say, the resurrection of Christ? You said, "I don't choose to believe that." Well, then you're lost. I don't believe that you have to be born again. I choose not to believe that. It doesn't work that way, my friend. You're still walking in darkness, being led by the Prince of Darkness. Remember the Prince of Darkness in the garden says, "Yea, has God said to Eve?" Caused doubt in Eve's mind about what God had really said. So it's the same thing as he is attempting to do for you. If you live in his spiritual kingdom, walking according to the prince and the power of the air. So the Old and New Testament, it says that all Scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete. You're not complete without the Word of God. Thoroughly equipped unto all good works. And again in 2 Peter, prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This tells me that the Old Testament prophets were inspired by God, which is the Word of God. And it didn't originate with man. Jesus prayed to the Father, "Sanctify them by thy truth, because your word is truth." Every word of God is pure, that means flawless. God is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. And many men have tried to do that. And God has proven them to be a liar. That's Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 1:1, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So, my friends, no committee has ever sat down and said, "Let's write a Bible." No one assembled 40 authors together to form a writer's conference or convention. It came about by the will of God over time. The Bible is the most scrutinized book in history, but is deemed to be trustworthy. Yea, has God said. Yea, God has said, to answer Satan's question. And it all comes to this. As God said, it is not what you feel or what you believe that will release you from what God has said. There's many times that people say, well, they think, well, because I don't believe this, it lets them off the hook. Which is not true. The Word of God stands sure whether you believe it or not. The believer does not have to be in bondage to Satan or the devil or to the ways of this world, my friends. To his flesh, he doesn't have to be a slave to that. He doesn't have to be a slave to his lust. God has provided us a way or a means of being victorious and overcomers. Excuse me. And that's what these messages are geared for, that we can be victorious, we can be overcomers. We're not in bondage to Satan and ourselves. That's what it comes down to. We can live in the spiritual kingdom. My desire for all of you, for myself, to live in the spiritual kingdom even while I'm here on earth. To know God fully, to know, to feel his presence around me. That's my desire for you, and that's the desire for myself. Everything will be worked out according to God's plan, and that cannot be stopped. I don't want to be a doom and gloom guy here and think that Satan is all powerful, because he's not. Only God is all powerful. God will have triumphed in the end. Justice will prevail. Wrongs will be punished, and right will be rewarded. So rest assured in that, that Satan cannot touch you. He cannot touch me. As long as we're living and walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian is by no means as promised that his troubles are over. In fact, they're just beginning. Because once you make a drive that stake into the ground, and you say, I'm going to live for Christ. I want his spirit working through me. Satan is going to come to the attack. He's going to try to stop you, but rest assured that Christ is with you, and as greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God wants to teach us how to navigate between the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this is the purpose of these messages. God has left us a roadmap, and not to get lost. He's left us the Bible, first and foremost. He's left us the Holy Spirit, and he's left us the church. Do not ignore a good Bible-believing church. And I've talked about this, and I will again talk about it. Yes, at times I get lost. And the times you get lost. But the Holy Spirit urges me back to Jesus Christ and his love for me. And we as believers have so many things coming at us from all sides. Just the mundane things of life, the problems of life. Not everything's demon-centered. God enters in because we cannot do it on our own. The enemy is too strong. That's why Paul admonishes us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you put on the whole armor of God, why, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this word wiles is a very interesting word according to the Greek that the New Testament was written in. It's the word methodia. And you can see that we get our English word method from it. And what that word denotes is craft, deceit. It's formed from two words, meta, and you've heard that word before, It's a preposition meaning after, and hodos, which means a way. So this is what it literally means. Now listen to this. Satan is crafting a way to go after you, and by using our old sinful nature, because he knows what we're susceptible to, and our lack of learning, he's crafting a way to keep you according to your weaknesses and according to my weaknesses. This is why we have to be alert. We have to be aware. We have to know it ourselves. As the Holy Spirit reveals in His Word, the sins and inconsistencies that are in our life. We have to understand that. We have to be aware of it. We have the Spirit of God that will teach us that, if we only submit to Him. But good news, brothers and sisters, we can stand. We need Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord. It's a preposition in that means be in the center. And that being in the center is in the center of His will. Be strong in the Lord and use His power. Because only Satan will flee at His power. Use the power of His might. My brothers and sisters, this is a clarion call to battle that we must answer. We're in the fight whether we like it or not. We're to take our stand. Notice the Bible just says, take your stand. It doesn't say go crowding around after Satan, but it says to take our stand because he will come to us. So, pass this on. Victory is in Christ. Live for Christ this week, my brothers and sisters. Pass the word on, and God will give us all a reward when we get to heaven.